Well, we're looking at the lost sheep this morning. The local author, former teacher and school inspector, I'm not sure whether you call him Gervais Finn or Jarvis, as we do in Derbyshire, Jarvis Finn, recalled this story, that a local vicar went into a primary school to lead assembly, and he told the parable of the lost sheep. And of course, it talks how the shepherd went to seek out the sheep that was lost. And afterwards, he thought he'd try and engage the children with this story. And he said, why do you think he left the 99 and went to look for this one sheep? Well, of course, being in the Dales, there were one, two ruddy-faced little farmer's children at the back, and one curly-haired lad put his hand up and said, happen it were tup. Well, for anybody who's farming, they realise that wasn't such a daft answer, because in a breeding flock, the tup is half the flock. One sheep and the 99 others. So it was a good answer, and he was thinking economically there, wasn't he? Here we have the parable of the lost sheep. But perhaps it would be better described as the parable of the seeking shepherd. And here Jesus, through this parable, demonstrates the extraordinary grace of God. It was in response to the grumblings and mutterings of the religious leaders who couldn't really quite get a hold of what Jesus was on about and didn't really agree with the company that he kept and some of the things that he said. And so he told this parable. It was a revolutionary message that God, the God of heaven, who these upright people are upright in their own eyes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious elite of the day, their God was actually available to everyone, to all, the sinners, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, the lepers. And this didn't go down very well with them. And so Jesus told this parable to highlight this truth, the good news of the gospel, the kingdom of God had come into the world. As any shepherd will tell you, there's nothing more foolish than sheep. I think they have one ambition in life from the day they're born, and that's to die in some extraordinary way. And if you, you know, whether it's drowning in a trough, hanging by the neck in a gate, eating so much corn that they blow up and pop, whatever it might be, there's 1,001 different ways for a sheep to die. And so it's not extraordinary that in this flock of sheep, one had wandered off, probably got a death wish, was heading off for a cliff or a river or a wolf or whatever it was. This sheep certainly had one ambition, and that was to be a quick exit from this life into sheepy heaven. But I'm not sure that this sheep actually knew it was lost. Sheep have a tendency just to wander off, you know, they get their heads down in the grass, munch, 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 away they go, and they can soon be detached, distracted away from the rest of the flock. So I wonder, probably, this sheep might not have even realised it was lost. It might not have even realised it was in danger. It might have been completely oblivious to its circumstances and its situation. But you know, the shepherd realised that it wasn't there. He'd done a head count, and one was missing. And the alarm bell started to ring, so he went to look for this sheep. It could have been trapped, it could have got stuck. I found a lamb this morning with its head stuck through the fence. It's got horns which allow it to push through but not pull back. It's obviously been there a while. It was very relieved once I released it. But it was stuck, totally helpless. This sheep in the parable could have been, you know, within a very short period of time, dinner for a wolf or a lion or a bear. It could have been unwittingly the target of a predator. It might simply have just got lost. But one thing was for sure, the shepherd realized it needed finding, it needed rescuing, it needed remove him from a place of danger. You know, Jesus is picturing people like sheep. And they are very much like sheep. Most people don't realise that they're lost. And worst of all, most people don't realise that they're in grave danger of their eternal well-being. People wander through life oblivious to the fact that they're eternally lost. They're caught up in sin. They're rebels against God. They're lawbreakers. Some are lost in addiction. Some are trapped by guilt or folly or abuse. Others are stranded by a rising tide of anxiety or low self-esteem. Many need rescuing. They're lost. People, like sheep, need to be found. Well, did the sheep want to be found? That's a good question. Probably didn't. It's probably quite happy. It's probably found a nice bit of tasty grass somewhere and didn't want anybody else to find it. Out in the Palestine, I suppose, in some areas it's quite rocky. It might be quite sparse on the ground, might grass. But eventually it would realise its predicament and bleat. I knew there was a lamb in trouble long before ever I saw it this morning. I could hear its distress call. Meh! And you know, this shepherd would have responded to a call of distress, but it also would have realised just before that that this sheep needed finding. Well, did the sheep want to be found? I'm not sure that it did. Do people realise that they're lost? Do they want to be found? You know, most people in this world don't give a thought for God, their Creator, don't give a thought for the Heavenly Father, don't give a thought for Jesus, our wonderful Saviour. Very few determine to seek God out, to be found by Him. Some cry out to God in the extreme circumstances of their lives. We know very few want to be found. They're quite happy where they are, even though they might be in imminent danger. You know, on the farm, it's always the shepherd who makes the first move. He realises that the sheep's lost, and off he goes to look for the sheep, long before the sheep realises it. He determines to find it. He sets out a plan. He marshals the area. He systematically looks for the sheep in the likeliest place that it might be. And likewise, you know, God, He knows our lost state far longer before we realise it. And He's determined and put a plan in place. The Bible says this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, God had done something about our lostness a long time before we ever realised it. A long time before we ever wanted to be found. And those who trust in Jesus as Saviour and find God as the Heavenly Father are sought out by Him by some means or other. Maybe this might be through a family member or a friend who shares with you the good news of Jesus. Maybe in a moment of crisis you receive a helping hand. Perhaps it might be through reading a Gideon's Bible in a hotel or when you're away. Whatever way it is, God comes to us. God comes to us and finds us in our situation. We're sought out by Him. Well, the sheep might not have wanted to have been found. I'm not sure that it was too pleased to be found either. We read that the shepherd had to pick it up and put it on his shoulders. He didn't say, oh, come this way, or, you know, go back to your mates. No, he had to physically catch it and carry it back. Even the lamb that wanted to be released from the sheep netting this morning put up such a struggle and a fight with me, against me. It resisted all my efforts initially. But, you know, it was very happy once I'd released it to run back to its mother and get its breakfast. Its little tail, what's left of it, was wagging very fast as it had its morning milk. It was relieved. There was a sense of elation and joy. Its bleats changed in tune and tone. It was rejoicing to be back with its mother. And now it enjoyed the protection and the provision that was there. And people often resist the kindness and the love of the Saviour. Many people are happy to be lost. They fear the change, prefer the certainty of their condition. We know Jesus said that he hadn't come to rescue those who already had faith, but those who are outside of God's family, God's flock. That was his response to these religious leaders who were criticizing him. He said elsewhere, did Jesus, that it wasn't the healthy but the sick who needed a doctor, and that he had come to seek and to save the lost. Jesus was making it very clear that God was for everyone and that God was interested in everyone. And more than that, God had gone to extreme lengths to make entrance into his kingdom available to everyone. Jesus had come to look for the lost, the outcast, the excluded, the bad, the guilty, the rejected, the damaged, those who didn't know they could be part of God's kingdom, those who felt they could never be accepted by God. Jesus himself is this good shepherd who came to seek and to save the lost. I wonder if there's anyone here this morning who realizes that they need rescuing, that in actual fact they're lost, and they need to come home to Jesus, home to God, a loving Heavenly Father, be released from the fear and the danger of their current circumstances, be forgiven of their sin, and come into new life with him. Well, for many of us, we're Christians. How do you feel about being a sheep in God's flock? We're described in many places in the Bible as being a sheep in God's flock. And God describes himself in the Bible as the shepherd, a good shepherd, the chief shepherd, the great shepherd. And I'm comforted by the fact that God looks on people in an agricultural context. I understand that. It makes sense to me. If you're a city dweller, then I'm perhaps going to have to help you out with one or two things here. But you know, it makes sense. God cares for, passionately, his people, just like a shepherd, his sheep. And the three things I'd like us to think about this morning about being part of God's flock. So once we've come to faith, once we realise that Jesus has been seeking us, once we've accepted him as our Saviour, then we're part of his flock. We're a sheep in his flock. And the first thing is that we're the property of God. He's chosen us. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? Fancy God ever choosing me. We sometimes take the sheep to the market, and usually they're the ragtag and bobtail variety, the cast-offs, the old ewes that we've no use for any longer, and we wonder, will anybody buy them? Will anybody choose them? And usually they do. Sometimes it's a Muslim fella, and I think he's going to go to the kebab shop. So perhaps not a happy home for some of the sheep that we take to the market. But inevitably, they're chosen before they become the property of somebody else. Some people choose animals for all kinds of reasons. Some people like the really weedy ones. They take pity on them. Some people like, you know, the really strong, healthy, vigorous-looking sheep. And they'll choose them. But you know, when God chooses us, he doesn't choose us because we have any merit or any virtue of ourselves. He chooses us because of his great love for us. And you know what? Often God chooses the people that the world wouldn't choose to have on their side, that the world wouldn't choose to include in their family, in their community. And that's why these religious leaders struggle with what Jesus had to say. Because Jesus was saying that God actually chooses the unlikely, the unlovely, to be part of his family. We're the property of God. God chooses us. It's great to be chosen, isn't it? When you're in the playground as a kid and they're picking sides, it's awful if you're the last one, isn't it? You know, you're the last one to be brought onto the team. It's a lot better if you're chosen first, earlier up the list, isn't it? Ah, somebody really wants me. It's lovely. Great thing to be chosen to. And as God's property, the property of the Good Shepherd, we're chosen by him. But more than that, we've been bought by him. We've been bought by him. God paid a price for us. Down in the market, when a sheep's been chosen, bids are taken, and the successful bidder then has to pay out the price, the value that he thinks that sheep is worth. And you know, God has set a price, has set a value on us, on our lives, on our souls, on us as individuals. And what is that value? It's the value of our redemption, our restoration into fellowship and friendship with him. It's the cost of our forgiveness. It's the price, the penalty for our guiltiness. It was the death of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died in our place, who took the punishment and our pain, our rejection, God's wrath in our stead. Our Heavenly Father has put that price on us, on you. He thinks you're worth it. It's a price set by God. We're given great value in God's sight. God did not spare his only son, but freely gave him for us, that we might become a member of his family, that we might be part of his flock, that we might be a sheep under this good shepherd. And you know, it's the same price for everyone. He hasn't paid a bit more for some than others. He hasn't paid less for some than others. It's the same for us all. You know, Jesus had to die. His life for ours, his life for mine, his life for yours. That's the value, that's the price that God has set. We've been bought by him. Chosen, bought as God's property, and now we're owned. We're his possession, we're included, we're accepted, we're his property. We've been transferred out of ownership from one place to another. We've been bought out of the kingdom of darkness, out of the control of Satan, out of his authority into the kingdom of God and the Son that he loves. We've become part of his family. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. We're chosen, we're bought, we're owned by God. We sent the tuck to the market earlier on, late last year, and we hope that he'd have a good owner. You know, whether animals are chosen and bought, you're never just quite sure what sort of home they're going to go to. We hope they have a good owner. But you know, as we come into God's family, as we're a member of God's flock, we have a great owner. We have the Good Shepherd himself. Not only are we his sheep, but he is our shepherd. He owns us, but we own him. What a great thing to be part of his flock. In John's Gospel, Jesus talks a lot about being the good shepherd, and you can read that for yourself in John chapter 10. And he says there that my sheep hear my voice. We recognize him. We're in relationship with the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus. Back in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, that great shepherd David, when he wrote the 23rd Psalm, said, "The Lord is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. I'm his sheep. I belong to him. But the best thing is that he's my shepherd." And you know, when a sheep transfers ownership into someone else's property, there's a mark of ownership placed on the sheep. It's all technical stuff, this. I hope you're making notes, and then you'll be able to astound your family and friends when you get home later. But sheep have to have an ear tag these days. It has to have a little chip in it. And it has to have two, one in each ear. That's just now. But historically, sheep have been marked so that we know whose they are. Sometimes they have marks painted on the back, a letter or a symbol. Perhaps the initial of the owner. Sometimes they have notches cut out of their ears. Could do that for some of you if you like, just a bit of ear decoration. Sometimes they have marks engraved on their horns. Sometimes they have tattoos in their ears. All different kinds of ways. You see, you're astounded, aren't you? All different kinds of ways of showing who this animal belongs to. It's visible. It's distinctive. It's particular to the owner. Sets them apart as his. And you know, if we're a member of God's flock, if he's our shepherd, if we're his property, then we should have a mark of ownership, obvious and distinctive, visible to all of us who are Jesus followers, who've been saved at such cost. I wonder, are we distinctive in the field of the world? Do we stand out? Is it obvious who we belong to? Do we bear the mark of God's ownership on our lives? We are, after all, God's property. If he's found us and saved us, bought us at such price. But as God's property, let's never forget that he values every sheep. Every sheep. This shepherd had 100 sheep. And he left 99 in the field and went to look for just the one. It might have been lame, the sheep. It might not have been able to keep up with the others. It might have been very old. It might not have had many teeth. It might have been very young and foolish. Whichever way, the shepherd realized one was missing and he valued that sheep. And how much more does God value each one of us in all our differences, in all our diversity? God loves us passionately. We're his property. Secondly, we need to be productive for God. Most sheep are kept for a purpose, for meat, for wool, and sometimes for milk. Have you ever had sheep's milk ice cream? Try it. If you know what a sheep smells like, you've got a bit of an idea what the ice cream is going to taste like. Not attractive, I don't find it. Anyway, but sheep are kept for a purpose. They should be productive. There's no point in keeping a sheep unless it's going to do some good. We had some friends back in Derbyshire who did have two sheep. They were wethers. That means males that have been castrated. So they're really only good for butchering. But this elderly lady wanted them to mow her orchard. So they were like little lawnmowers for her. And they became pets to such a degree that one reached the grand old age of 14, and which is a big age for a sheep. I mean, 5, 6, 7's quite old for a sheep. 14, and it was so decrepit was this sheep that she used to have to go and pick it up in the morning onto its feet to feed it. And she also gave it some of her husband's arthritis tablets just to keep it going, mobile. But it really wasn't serving much purpose, was it? I don't think. Sheep are meant to be productive. They're meant to be useful for some purpose. And you know, God's flock has a purpose. We have a purpose. We're not just here to revel in God's goodness, enjoy his blessing and presence. But we have a purpose. We're here as members of God's flock to offer him praise and worship. We're here to be witnesses to his goodness and his grace. We're responsible for promoting the gospel, for bearing his name to the world, for making disciples of all people. We're here to celebrate and to testify to God's grace and goodness in our lives. We're supposed to bear fruit, fruit that will last, holy lives, performing good works, preaching the gospel, making disciples. We have a purpose. We should be productive for God. We've looked at one or two parables recently, haven't we, where talents were given and the owner came back to check how his staff had got on with these talents, how productive they'd been. And you know, we shall be held account by the chief shepherd for the lives we've led and how we've used the gifts and talents God has given to us. You know, we're not responsible for the gifts that he hasn't given to us, but we are responsible for the gifts and talents that God has given to us. So let's be sure to use them for his glory. And consequently, our lives shouldn't be lived for ourselves, but for God. And in living them for God, we should actively seek out the interests of our neighbours and their well-being too. All that we do with our lives should be an offering of praise to God in response to his great salvation to us. I heard someone once say that the sheep is given a life, but the wool belongs to the shepherd. You know, God has given us a life, but he expects us to be productive in it. Very familiar phrase within Christian circles. We've been saved to serve. We have a purpose. We should be productive for God. Let's be productive for God. Let's offer our lives as a living sacrifice to him. So we're God's property, property of the Good Shepherd. We should be productive for God, the Chief Shepherd. But finally, let's never forget that we're precious to God. We're precious to him, the Great Shepherd. You know, he knows us each by name. We turn back to that section in John's Gospel. My sheep know me. I call them by name. We're known individually to God. We're precious to him. He's interested in us, each one. We're valuable to him. We're valuable to him. The story of the lost sheep shows how God puts a value on each one. We're protected, kept safe by him. Think of the 23rd Psalm where David says, "The Lord is my shepherd. His rod and staff comfort me. They protect me." And then in John's Gospel where Jesus says that the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He stands between the sheep and danger. We're protected by him. And we're fed, provided for by our wonderful God. In John it talks about the sheep going in and out, finding pasture. And more than that, we're given life, life to the full, eternal life, life that shall last forever. We shall never perish. We're precious to God. Jesus said some very tender words in Luke's Gospel. "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." That's wonderful, isn't it? I don't know how you feel this morning, but I'm pleased to be part of God's flock. I'm glad to be his property. I hope to be productive for him, but I'm so thankful that I'm precious in his sight. You know, from time to time, we might be like a sheep and wander away, do our own thing, act foolishly. But what a tremendous joy to be a part of God's flock, God's family. Let's not forget that we're the property of the Good Shepherd. He's chosen us. We need to be productive for the Chief Shepherd. That's what he expects. But he's paid the price because we're precious to that Great Shepherd. What an amazing experience it is to be found by God, to become part of his family, and know that even the heavens rejoice as individuals come into this relationship with him. Let's be thankful to Jesus, our wonderful Saviour, and let's live in a way that's pleasing to him as Lord of our life.